Welcome to another edition of The Brand Called You, a video and podcast show that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. We are now in season two, and we have over 300 recordings for you to see. Today, it is my privilege to welcome my good friend, successful professional, and fellow golfer, Yogesh Bedi. Yogesh, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Ashutosh, for having me.
Yogesh is an engineer. He's an MBA from XLRI. He has worked with Tata Steel for a long time, and he's currently the chief of the steel recycling business. And as I just mentioned earlier, he's a very keen golfer. So Yogesh, tell me a little bit about your early work.
Yeah, Ashutosh, again, thanks for having me here. And really appreciate this initiative of yours in running this brand called You. You know, in our careers, we've all been selling some brand or the other all the time. And often in the rat race, we forget that we ourselves are brand and there's a brand equity involved. So very nice of you for having, trying to remind the people that your brand is equally as important and you have to, you know, nurture it and, you know, keep it going for a long time. Thank you, Ashutosh. Yeah, so you were asking me about, tell me again the question.
A little bit about your early life and your early work, and then we'll get into what you're doing now.
Yeah, so I come from a small town called Jamshedpur. Though it is small, it is,
not I think, small.
Cleanest cities in India. And this is a steel town, steel city also. Had my education there. Then I went on to do my engineering at BIT Mesra and then MBA at XLRI and joined Tata Steel. Mm-hmm. In Tata Steel, it has been a very good stint, from the beginning. So, which is one of the reasons that, you know, people who join a Tata company, they never leave. It's not because of anything else, but there's so much to do and so many different opportunities, so much rotation across verticals, across companies. So that is how, you know, I've stuck on to this job and very happily so, I would say.
Okay. So that's wonderful. So if you were to look back at the various things that you've been doing, what would be three key milestones that you can think of?
Okay, so actually there are many milestones, and to single out three is actually difficult. Just give me a minute. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the first one I would imagine is when I was chosen as a black belt, in my company. So this was around 2000 when the ride of the company was not very good. Mm-hmm. The times were tough. The profits were dwindling. Mm-hmm. So the company decided to run a Six Sigma program, the Black Belt program. We coined the name Aspire for it. Mm-hmm. And some people were chosen as Black Belts to transform the company, to make it EVA positive. EVA was a very popular word that time.
Yeah.
So I was the one of the selected ones. So why it was a milestone? Because it was a transformational program. You know, you're transforming a company and a big company for that matter.
Right.
So there was a lot of learning. You know, it was, I can say easily that it was a learning of a lifetime. You know, when I was a black belt, then I went on to become the master black belt and I continued the journey for some time. And I also became theory of constraints application expert. So this was the first milestone. Mm-hmm. The second was that, you know, I'm a sales and marketing person most of the time. I was, you know, asked to transform my byproducts division in the company. Now, byproducts, our company was one of the early ones to realize that there's a lot of value in byproducts and it is not a waste. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that time I remember my CEO telling me that, Yogesh, this is a 2000 crores profit center and we don't focus much on it. What if we were to focus? Would we, you know, get much more revenues or much more margins out of it? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I went into, you know, becoming the COMS of that division to transform that division. And we did lots of things in byproducts. We start, you know, we put up a team. We first of all, we changed the name. It was called secondary products. Mm-hmm. We started calling it industrial byproducts division.
Okay.
So which itself was a change, you know, it gave a different outlook. Mm-hmm. We got in good marketing people, changed the organization. We started branding byproducts. You know, we were the first ones, you know, some of the byproducts we've branded, you know, it is never heard of. So that is my second one. The third one is when I, you know, when I came into this, my current role, setting up a steel recycling business.
Right.
This again, you know, I wonder if you know, this is the first in India for a corporate to come in. Otherwise, it is a very fragmented business in the informal sector, unorganized. And of course, there are precedences across the world, you know, in US and Canada and Europe and all. But in, for India, it was the first time. So we running this business like a startup within a huge company that is Tata Steel, a startup within a huge company. And we're changing the shape of the industry, the way the scrap is bought and sold. So it's a very exciting experience. So I would imagine these are the three, you know.
That's great, great milestone. So let's, you know, that's a very good segue into my next question, which is on what you're doing currently. You know, you're talking, you just spoke about recycling. Now, recycling traditionally has been a very small scale industry. Well, not even industry. I mean, it's the kabadi wala who would come and pick up everything and take it away. What have you found so attractive in this that you have actually said that you're building large scale plants, and at the same time, what is happening to that small individual?
Yeah, so very interesting and very apt question. See, it may look small because that is what we see, the kabadi wala.
Right.
But actually, it is a $10 billion industry in India itself.
Wow.
You know, there's a million people involved in it.
Okay.
The kabadi walas and going up to, you know, the supply chain actually runs pretty long. Mm-hmm. So it is a long and complex supply chain. Mm-hmm. And many people are involved in it. 30 million tons of scrap is consumed in India every year. 25 million approximately is generated in India, and 5 million tons, because we don't have that much scrap, it is imported. So actually the scale is pretty large. So the sad thing is that in spite of that, it is, you know, since it is not organized, the government doesn't see the face of it. Mm-hmm. So hence it doesn't have an industry status, for example. You know, for example, many industries have got an industry status, and then it is easy for the government to, you know, make policies for it. So this was never an industry. So there are no, the policies are flimsy. You know, of course, the government has realized this, and there's some policies being considered. One or two policies have already come, and some good policies, you know, you would hear steel recycling policies already there. The vehicle scrappage policy is being talked about. So the policies are coming. But once an organized player comes in, you know, it raises the bar in many things. So, you know, the quality improves, the safety and environment conditions of the workers improve. You know, otherwise, no one cares about their safety, environment. Most of these workers are not in the social ambit. You know, they are not in the social fabric of the country. They don't have that health plans or PPF or, you know, whatever. The social security is not there. So, you know, once a corporate comes in, all these things start changing slowly. Of course, it will take time. Right. The best part, you know, you asked about what happens to those people. The best part is Tata has never, never, ever, you know, impinge on other people's livelihood. They try to take people along with them. So, you know, we will try to ensure that we work with those people, get them along, try to get them into the social fabric, improve their living safety conditions, social conditions, etc., security fabric. So, you know, it will be working with them rather than, you know, taking a pie out of them.
Very interesting. And, you know, I've often heard, or I've read a few articles, that a place in Gujarat, Alang, is supposed to be a place which is very, very big for recycling of ships. Now, how important is recycling for steel? I mean, in a country that is famous for its recycling, in a country where we don't even throw away a used ball pen and we find another way to find a refill, how important is it for steel?
Very interesting observation, but you'll be surprised that we don't recycle enough. You know, we think that, yeah, it is only, you know, if you don't recycle, things go for landfill. So you will recall, around Delhi itself, there are so many landfills.
Correct.
In fact, not only landfills, they are land mounds. You know, they become mountains. So that is what happens if you don't recycle. So in India, we recycle about 60 to 65% of our waste. But, you know, their country is doing much, much more. I'll just give you an example of a village, Kamikatsu in Japan. You know, it recycles nearly 100%. Every person in the village, you know, knows what is the importance of recycling. you know, like we recycle, we separate, segregate our household waste into two categories. You know, you must be also doing it, a green bag and a black bag, recyclable and not recyclable and all. They segregate their waste into 34 categories.
Wow.
You know, they are doing around 80 to 90% recycling as it is. Their target is to make it 100%. And they are very proud. You know, you go to their, you know, their villager will explain what is recycling, what is the benefit of recycling, etc. Now, as compared to that, a common man in India, you ask him recycling, he'll look through you. You know, we are still trying to fight the many of the, you know, hygiene needs. You know, recycling for us is a very, so, you know, we'll have to run a campaign around it. You know, recycling is actually, it's the products are not waste, they are resources. You know, if you do, you know, if you don't recycle, what you do, you, every time you want more material, you produce more. For producing more, you dig more, you mine more, you are, you know, eating on the natural resources, you're consuming energy. As against that, if the concept of recycling comes in, you know, there's a, it is linked to the concept of circular economy. You know, the waste, there's nothing called a waste. Right. The waste of one process, you know, goes into the raw material of another. Yeah. So this has to be run as a campaign. It is, it will increase the resource efficiency of the country like anything. And of course, it is linked to sustainability. So it is important from sustainability point of view. So there are many benefits of recycling. It creates jobs. You know, if we were not landfilling and we were processing it, imagine how many jobs could be created. So it is, it has got more benefits than one.
Amazing. So, you know, for an institution like Tata's, which has traditionally been, you know, so philanthropic, one of the biggest groups of the country, what kind of disruption are you people doing in the way the scrap is bought and sold in India?
Yeah. So in the steel industry, at least I would share that Tata's, since we set up our company in 1907, we have been pioneering various aspects of steel making, the steel industry. Mm-hmm. So coming into steel recycling business is also one of the disruptions, you know, one of the first corporates to come in India. And of course, there are many disruptions, you know, that this itself is a disruption. The other disruption is that, you know, this segment lacks the trust. You know, you will understand that, you know, typically this segment has not been associated with a lot of trust and transparency and all that. So we will, you know, once we come in, there'll be a lot more trust. We'll try to bring in transparency. We've just launched an app called the Ferroheart app. You know, this will be the platform for selling and, you know, buying scrap from these traders. You know, we'll be buying just like Amul. Just imagine all the milkmen, you know, around Gujarat, you know, coming and, you know, giving their milk to Amul. So something like that, you know, this is a platform for transparently trading and selling and buying scrap. Once you make anything digital, you know, obviously so many things, you know, automatically the underhand things go away and things become transparent. The compliances come into the thing, you know, much more statutory compliances. So this is one disruption. The other is, of course, there's some other digital things we are trying. But we are trying to do lots of disruptions all through.
Yeah, I mean, it's very fascinating when you talk about an Amul type of model where people voluntarily will come from all over the country and bring the scrap and hand it over for recycling. I mean, I think that will be a complete game changer.
Yeah. And, you know, other disruptions, like, just for example, you know, scrap is bought and sold by different nomenclatures across the country. You know, in the south, it is called by some name. In the north, it is called by some name. You know, very funny names. Jal, Tin Tappad, Jalebi. You know, some, and whatever, you know, local lingo. But business cannot be done like that. There, you know, internationally, there are ISRI codes, you know, International Society of Recycling Industries or something like that. So, internationally, the trade happens through those codes. Right. So we also have BIS codes, but they are not in vogue. You know, people are not using it. So, you know, once we come in, we'll start using those BIS codes. The codes will be revised. You know, so the bar raises. So another thing is that, you know, in the current, as I said, the supply chain is very long. So the scrap passes from one hand to the other without any value addition. So while the price keeps going up, there's no value addition. So when we come in, we'll be putting some modern, you know, state-of-the-art equipment like balers, shredders. You know, we've imported that equipment. And the quality of the scrap, the processed scrap, you know, goes much higher. So suddenly now, scrap is available at arm's length, you know, within the vicinity, and you don't have to import it. So it is import substitution. You know, there's so much less foreign exchange going out. So many things will be happening, you know, and it will be really, as I said, game-changing for the scrap industry in India.
And tell me, Yogesh, my last question for you on Tata Steel or your steel scrap business before I move to some other questions. The supply chain for this must be very complex. I mean, I remember in my ITC days, you know, one of the divisions used to trade in scrap, and I remember ships were purchased, brought there, and then there were bombs, which unexploded bombs that landed up. There were explosions in Alang port. People were hurt. I mean, that itself must be a massive task for, you know, you and your colleagues.
So you are very rightly, you know, touching upon the challenges. Mm-hmm. So any new, you know, when someone is trying to shape the industry, obviously it's not going to be easy. And, you know, we listed and there are huge number. You are touching upon some, but there are many, many more. But you've touched upon the very vital ones. The first you said about the complex supply chain. Yes, it is the reverse logistics is crazy. This is reverse supply chain. You know, over the years, the companies have concentrated on forward supply chains, you know, taking their product to that last mile to the customer. Yeah. This is now getting back that customer after he's, you know, the product has lived its life, getting it back for recycling. And it is really complex. It starts with a peddler that, you know, that very important person in the supply chain. And it goes right up. It's a long complex. And you rightly said, you know, there could be radioactive material. Some of the medical equipment, for example, when it comes for recycling, you know, it could have X-ray machines and all that. They could have radioactivity. So how do you, it, you know, when you get in ships or some, you know, cylinders, gas cylinders, you know, there could be, you know, when it comes for recycling, there could be some, you know, pent up gas in the cylinder. It could explode when you're trying to, you know, crush it or something like that. So all these challenges have been identified. And, you know, you'd be pleased to know, just going back to that point of disruption, you know, we are probably the first company in India who will be checking the material for radioactivity. We've got 3 points in our factory. When the raw material comes in, when it is processed, and when it is going out, it is checked for radioactivity. And, you know, as soon as there's some radioactive material, an alarm will go, and that material will be, you know, returned back to the supplier with a strict warning, etc. So, you know, these things, obviously, you know, once we are coming in, all this will have to be dealt with. Yeah, but you're right. There's lots of challenges.
So, Yogesh, I'm going to move to the second part of my show, which is ask you some questions about you personally. My first question is, where do you draw your inspiration from?
Okay, so, you know, one is, of course, my dad. You know, he's no more, and I lost him pretty early in life. You know, he had done only his plus two. Mm-hmm. And he was a very successful businessman. He had done his ISC. That time it was called Cambridge or something, you know, around. So basically that level. Mm-hmm. But his passion for, you know, making us, you know, giving us the right education, putting us on the right tracks. So I remember, you know, he would, you know, share some example or the other. You know, he would meet someone and then come and share with us that such and such person has gone to the army. Mm-hmm. You know, you should also go to the army, or such and such person has become an engineer. He would take me to him, you know, just to see his lifestyle and what it means. So I think he has been one of the early influencers. Of course, we've got a whole lot of leaders, and there's no dearth of leaders, you know, many of them, you know, and all of them, actually, there's something to learn from the other. Correct. But yeah, so he also used to talk a lot about Guru Nanak. Very interestingly, since we are Bedis, he used to tell us that we follow the same lineage. You know, we belong to his, we are his descendants. Mm. So that has been a great influence on me also. Yeah.
So my next question is that, you know, given the incredible successes that you've had and all the great things that you're doing, how do you set your own personal and professional goals?
So, you know, it has to, basically it is what pleases you. You know, if you are in a job or in an environment that you're happy with, you know, you really look forward to going back to work every day, great, doing great things. And once you're there, once you're happy, then obviously, you know, you're happy professionally. You're also happy, you know, in the home front. So it's very important, I think, to be in a job or an environment where you're happy, you look forward to going back to it again and again, and every Monday and, you know, every day. So that is what, you know, I think, thankfully, I've been, you know, blessed with a company, a corporate, or the jobs, you know, one after the other, in which have given me a lot of satisfaction. Okay. And that has basically driven me both professionally and in my domestic front.
Wonderful. So my next question is that if you were a role model to millions of children who closely followed you and your life choices, what is the one thing you would change in yourself?
I would try to be less emotional.
Okay.
You know, that is what, over the years, I have tried to work on it. You know, getting too passionately, you know, passion is good, but too emotionally attached with something, with either the work or anything, is not very good. So maybe I would, from the beginning, I would work on it. Of course, this has been, over the years, I have improved on this KPI quite a bit. And for the youngsters, as you said, you know, I always like to tell this to my team. You know, there's, in many decisions, there's nothing like right or wrong. Or, you know, most of the time, there's nothing like, you know, so if you've taken a decision, the way I tell them is, if you've taken the decision, just run on with it. Mm-hmm. You know, run as if there is no tomorrow. You know, if you got the baton in your hand, you know, run like crazy. That is what I tell them, you know. Don't keep thinking, okay, this baton is made of wood, it is made of ebonite, it should have been this. You know, this baton is there in your hand, just run like crazy.
So my next question to Yogesh is that what does success mean to you?
Yeah, so again, it means basically being at peace with oneself. Mm-hmm. You know, not going to sleep every day thinking that, you know, this has to be done, this I have not done. You know, this is pending, I have to do this in life. You know, one should try to reach a point that, of course, you know, there's always many more things to be done. But when it starts worrying you that this is undone or this is not to be done, not done as yet or something like that. So a successful person is usually, I think, at peace in himself. You know, he's happy with what he has achieved in life. Of course, there are many more things to be done, but he's not rattled by it or he's not getting disturbed by it. And that is what I think.
Terrific. So my last question to you, and this is relating to the pandemic. Given all the things that are going on in the world and in our lives now, how are you rethinking your life and your career in the new world order?
So about the pandemic, you know, it's a, you know, we've not seen the earlier pandemics, so we don't know. Probably, you know, we are handling it much better than, you know, then we had handled it in the past, in those, you know, the earlier pandemics. And hopefully, you know, it's probably, we are waiting for the vaccine. You know, once it comes, probably it will be appearing to be much lesser than what it was. As long as it is not there, of course, you know, it is a challenge. I think the world will spring back to its original form.
Okay.
Not exactly, but, you know, like a rubber, you know, you stretch it, it comes back to its original form. You know, for example, the malls have started opening. People have started going in lesser numbers. The metros have started running. The Ubers, you know, I understand, have started running. You know, Olas have started running.
Yeah.
So I think it will come back to its original form. Maybe, you know, it's a question of time. Some things, of course, may take, you know, a different, slightly different form, but it will not be very this thing. So we just have to be patient, you know, past this period, you know, a year or two, with the perseverance and the patience, trying to do whatever we can to stay safe and healthy.
Wonderful. And what a great way to end on such a positive note. So Yogesh, thank you very much. It's been such a pleasure speaking to you, and I wish you lots of success with Tata Steel's recycling business and looking forward to your hole-in-one next.
Yeah, I'm also looking forward. So, you know, golfers, as you would know, the moment the week is coming to its close, we are already thinking of, you know, have we arranged a game? or have we arranged a four ball for the next, you know, weekend? Yeah, we are looking for a game, definitely, not necessarily a hole in one.
Okay. So thank you again, and good luck.
Thank you, Ashutosh. It was really a pleasure being with you. And as I said, this is a great concept, Brand Called You. You know, more power to you. And I'll also try to spread the word. I'll try to send in some people, you know, whom you can interview. It's a very good concept and I really liked it.
Thank you very much. Thank you for listening to the Brand Called You videocast and podcast. A platform that brings you knowledge, experience and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. Just search for the Brand Called You.